Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because I live, you shall also live." Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Marianne G. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow, hope, and in death, resurrection. Let us rise together and sing in one voice, "Pray to the Lord, the Almighty." You can find the song in the red color hymn book, number 139.
Be seated and let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Mary and G, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace. And let light perpetual shine upon Miriam and all those that have gone ahead of us. And continue to help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Now please join me in reading Psalm 23 that you can find in the program. We'll sing it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters, restores my life, leads me in right path for the sake of the Lord's name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live.
Thank you. Having known Marianne for over 27 years, and having worked with her intimately for 15 of those years, I am especially honored to be part of this service in celebration of her life. It is also especially sweet to share with so many wonderful musicians with whom she spent a huge portion of her life over the last years. As I contemplated what I might share this morning uniquely about Marianne, I found myself initially trying to somehow calculate, quantify her impact on the ministry of this church in terms of the literally tens of thousands of hours she spent back here at the console, preparing, selecting, and ultimately contributing to sacred worship, well over 2,000 preludes, postludes, and offertories, including music from Bach and Beethoven, Wesley and Watts, Rutter, Ferré, Sleeth, Sousa, Bernstein, Brubeck, and Burling, yeah. Along with composers unknown to most of us, music always carefully selected to illumine the message of the day without which the liturgy, the sermons, and the prayers of worship are always lacking. With unflagging zeal and professionalism, Marianne accompanied thousands more anthems and scores of children's musicals, recruited bell choirs, and conducted pieces from the simple Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star to the sublime. Not only that, with unflagging resolve, she spent thousands of hours in rehearsals, at meetings, and on retreat. She dignified countless funeral and memorial services such as this, and played for who knows how many weddings, enduring with uncomplaining grace the indignity of having to sit back there and vamp for an hour while a reluctant groom decided whether or not to go through with it. Or a gown-challenged bride still needed some more pinning. She also was here that Saturday afternoon, which I'll never forget, when at the end of a ceremony in the sanctuary, full of bikers, Harleys, lined out in the parking lot as though from a scene of the Wild Ones. Everyone, as the final benediction was pronounced, as if given a cue from beyond, jumped to their feet, stood on the pews, and belted out the sacred refrains of Leather and Lace while Marianne sat there not knowing what to do. The stories we shared over dim sum and green tea. When at the instigation of Carolyn Pryor, Marianne accepted the invitation to join our staff. She did so mindful that one of her first tasks was to help with the process of selecting, designing, and overseeing the installation of the marvelous Schantz pipe organ that eventually replaced the old Rogers Theater relic that was, by the time she arrived early in 1991, literally held together with duct tape and baling wire. With a new instrument and a redesigned worship space, as an active member of the AGO, Marianne helped bring world-class organists here for master's classes and performances, including one memorable visit by Mark Thallander, whose inspiring story of learning to play at an extraordinary level after the loss of his right arm became that Sunday's message. Generously, Marianne also invited local talent, some of you who are here today, I've noticed already. She reached out to you to play in concerts or in one of the seasonal recitals that she organized over the years. She reached out and encouraged choirs and ensembles from local high schools, West Valley College, San Jose State, and other community-based groups to perform in concert or for Sunday worship. And over the years, groups and artists came from around the country, from Maine and New York and Georgia, and the Carolinas, Utah, and from as far away as Petersburg, Russia, to perform in this acoustically resonant and hospitable space that she helped create. Never one to covet the spotlight, always the consummate team player, Marianne collaborated with pastors, music directors, conductors, instrumentalists, at least one pop star, many monotones, a few divas, several musically challenged, as well as a whole bunch of superbly gifted musicians to create worship and other experiences that were marked by consistent beauty, creativity, coherence, dignity, solemnity, occasional playfulness, and always holy joy, all to the glory of God. Yet beyond the impressive organizational and musical contributions that we can calculate and count, she continued, even as she struggled with cancer, to demonstrate what was perhaps her deepest and most profound contribution to the community. For she had a beauty of soul that enabled her to smile people into smiling, to ring people into ringing, to sing people into singing, to chant people into chanting, to accept people into accepting, to include people into including, to encourage people into encouraging, to soften people into softening, and to love people into loving. Such a grace and true beauty of soul. For in these ways and more, she enriched and changed for the better the life of every one of us who were privileged to be touched by the magic and grace of her presence. Of course, music was her primary medium. But I don't want us to overlook the fact that Marianne occasionally used words as she explored and expressed the mystery of the faith we shared. Some of those words she put into a letter she sent me following the death of her father in the Philippines in 1998. That letter became the heart of my Easter sermon that year, and as it turns out, were among the last words I spoke to her on the Wednesday afternoon before her death. This is some of what she wrote. On the fourth day after his death, I was folding my dad's clothes and putting them into a box when I noticed a butterfly fluttering nearby and inside the closet with me. I looked at this butterfly and told my sister of this amazing and wonderful sign. Could it be that the Holy Spirit had given us a sign? I received the answer 3 days later, when a friend who instructed us to visit my dad's grave on the third day after burial, according to tradition, asked me if I'd seen a butterfly recently. Startled by the question, I replied, "Why, yes, inside my dad's closet." "A flesh-colored butterfly?" he asked. "Why, yes," I replied again. Then he shared with me that he had the same experience a few years ago when his mother died. He believed it was her way of saying thanks. On my last night in Cebu City, while packing in a bedroom connected by a bathroom to my father's room, I was startled to hear a choir singing for all the saints who from their labors rest. I immediately recognized the music from a CD I'd given my father a few years ago. I walked through the bathroom to his room where the music was coming from. And as soon as I reached his doorway, the music stopped. I was scared and excited. I blurted out, "Dad, are you here?" Silence, nothing moved. I noticed the CD was not on the player. In fact, the CD player was not even plugged in. I went back to my bedroom to continue packing. The hymn began again. This time I stayed put and just listened through the whole hymn. Then, with the volume turned higher, I heard "All Creatures of Our God and King." All verses. Then, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." Then a hymn unfamiliar to me. Then, "Crown Him with Many Crowns." After this hymn, the music began to sound distant and garbled, as if you had poor reception on your radio. Then the choir stopped singing. My mom, who was with me, and I just stared at each other, half smiling, eyes welling up with tears. The next morning, as I shared this experience, my brother Albert came up from the basement and informed me that he had been playing Dad's CD the night before at about 11:30 p.m. But when I pressed him for details, I discovered that what he played and what I heard did not coincide. I did not hear the beginning five hymns of the CD, nor did I hear the remaining selections of the CD, about 16 in total. My brother did not stop the CD at any point, nor did he touch the volume control. He just played the music straight through. I truly believe I heard what the Holy Spirit wanted me to hear. Hymns of victory over death. Hymns with lots of alleluias. Hymns to assure me that Dad is in a better place. P.S. My other brother Alvin, who lives next door, joined us for breakfast. He told me that about the time I heard the music, he was praying and asking God to send us a sign that our dad is all right. I knew then that the music was the answer to those prayers. We invariably wonder at times like this, is death the end? Does it have the last word? Well, Mary Ann G didn't think so. She believed that finally death is poor. It runs out. The risen Christ tossed up from the sea of mystery onto the shores of our lives demonstrated to her that since nothing in life or death separates us from God, then everything in life and death connects us to God. And that was the core of her faith, a glimpse into the very heart of God, the God whom Mary Ann served and entrusted, and into whose embrace we now release her with what she herself once called a smiling sorrow. A smiling sorrow. Saddened by her death, it immeasurably enriched by her life. Our last best gift is to free her. As she came in to this world with a sigh and with a song, that she might continue her journey into the eternal embrace of God. A smiling sorrow. Thanks be to God. For Mary Ann G, for her family, who shared her so generously with us all. Amen.
That was a combined group of people who played in choirs that Marianne directed. We were all so grateful to be able to participate to honor her today. It's also hard to imagine that she's not here, because her spirit is so much in this place at all times with all of us who had the privilege of spending time with her. This is a poem that I wrote for Marianne on the occasion of her 25th anniversary here at this church. Quiet spirit, filling spaces with warmth and beauty, introducing, connecting, enriching, enlivening, filling souls, nurturing hearts. Gentle presence, necessary, water of life meandering through our souls, life-giving inspiration. Quiet grace, a whisper of sound, tiptoeing between organ and piano, gently sliding from the bench to the chair and back again when the sermon is complete. Our bedrock, our foundation, our organizer, our follower through, pre, post, beginning, end, and everything in between. Unfailing, constant, ever-present. Melody maker, harmony creator, hallelujah giver, hosanna bellower. Listening, responding, leading, following, bells ringing, horns blowing, drums showing, feet tapping, hands clapping, gratitude abounding. Melodious glory given, thunderous difference made.
Marianne taught piano lessons to both of our two sons for many years. From personal experience and the way my childhood piano teacher's influence stays with me today, I know that the musical foundation and love for music that Marianne instilled in all her many students will stay with them all of their lives. This is a short piano etude that Marianne assigned my son Jason earlier this year that I really liked and I felt adapts well to the steel pan. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jonathan, the eldest son. I'd like to just share a few words with you today. I cannot even begin to go into detail as eloquently as Pastor Corson did about her mom's workings in the church. But I can give the perspective of someone who, as a child, really didn't always understand the commitment that she had. And now as an adult, I'm so proud, so proud to call her my mom. I'm gonna try my best to get through this with her help, as she promised me on the last week of her life. I will also try to keep it short, because as wonderful it is to see this turnout, I think she'd be a little overwhelmed and embarrassed. I think many of you know she didn't love the spotlight. She liked to be a behind-the-scenes kind of person. But first, thank you for everybody to come and pay respects and all your well wishes. This was truly mom's home away from home. And to see the turnout, to see how beautiful the church looks, everybody pitching in, it's very touching for myself and my family. We deeply appreciate it. You know, if mom had her way, I think I'd be up here. I think my brother Anthony would be up here, but we'd probably be wearing clergy robes, holding a Bible. I'd probably have stolen Shine's job behind the organ. Sorry, Mom, it did not work out that way. But, you know, to her credit, that she accepted everyone for who she was. She just wanted, she lived how she lived, but she also didn't put her own demands on you. You know, looking here, there's so much familiarity in this church. I was actually just thinking, I'm pretty sure my brother and I played a violin duet right around here with my mom on the piano. Some of you were around for it, I'm almost positive, actually. And we were quite cuter back then. But that was nerve-wracking. You know, my mom really enjoyed the fact that she could share music with both the family and the church, but I didn't quite have the gift for performing she did. I remember sweaty palms, trying not to look at anybody while playing the violin, trying not to mess up, going home and saying, when do I have to do this again, Mom? She said, maybe Christmas. You know, so many words when I try to think of how to describe Mom come to mind. Humility, she didn't seek adulation. She was just so happy to see things done well. She didn't have a mean or competitive bone in her body. Generous, both with philanthropy and with her time. Something that especially later in her life we talked about nonstop. You know, things that you can do in this world to make an impact. Busy. As much as we've talked about all her workings in the church, she ran almost a full-time piano business. But I can't remember anything that a mom's supposed to do that she didn't do. Driving to swim practice, driving to music lessons, being at school functions. She really was a busy person. I think a lot of people wouldn't know this. She kept insanely late hours. She was usually the type of person to sleep at 1 a.m., but she'd wake up at 7. And that was her whole life. I remember that. You know, another word, I guess, would be, am I allowed to say demanding? Maybe I think some colleagues, the choir, could certainly attest to that. But in a fair way, in a way that, you know, she expected just your best, but she'd give you her best. It's funny, you know, later in life we talked about, there was this moment we were going over music, and she asked me, you know, do you think you can still play the piano? And I actually started playing the scale for her, and I added an H. It was really embarrassing. And she looked at me like, what? But it started coming back to me, and we started talking about how I'd played violin, and we actually had a heart-to-heart, and she acknowledged. I said, Mom, I was doomed from the start to become a good piano player. There's no wonder that when I had the option, it was, I just grasped at the violin. I didn't even like the violin. It was, give me anything else. But, you know, what I wouldn't give to hear my mom try to teach me more music, encourage us to play. It's a very bittersweet memory. You know, my mom also had a lot of conviction in her life, not just about her career, but really just how to live. You know, being a good Christian woman. In fact, I would say that this was one of the things that just made her successful and happy in life. Because whatever she believed in, I think it was an unwavering conviction. You know, the Bible, the most basic, important commandment, love your neighbor like yourself. This can encompass so much about being a good person, a good Samaritan. It makes me think of this one time. I did want to share one story, and it's such an inconsequential story that I hadn't thought of in a long time. I had to be in fifth or sixth grade. It was Halloween. And for whatever reason, my family, we had to be out that night. We couldn't do the typical trick-or-treating. The parents couldn't stay home and pass out the candy. And bless her heart, my mom had this horrible idea. She took a giant cardboard box, wrote Happy Halloween on it, loaded up with candy, and put a sign that said, please take up to two. And I was actually really upset for a more selfish reason of, this is really embarrassing, Mom. Everyone's going to make fun of me at school tomorrow. You do realize that someone's just going to steal this, right? And she said, why do you have to say that? I said, I think I would take it. And she, I remember I really said that, and she kind of lifted her eyebrow at me, and would you really? I don't believe that. And I was like, well, okay, you taught me better than that, Mom, but I'd probably take more than two. And this is the most horrible idea. I was actually very upset. Sure enough, that night, we come home. Of course it's gone. And one of our neighbors told us that did not last very long. And I was actually just, you know, I was a know-it-all fifth grader or sixth grader. And come on, Mom, this is, how could you think that nobody was going to take this all? And her comment was, you know, yeah, there's always going to be a bad apple out there. But what are you going to do? You're going to live your life worrying about what someone's going to do that's not right? You just do what's right. You do what you can do. And that's just something I think she didn't question things in life. You know, she lived how she wanted to live. She was one of the most oldest school traditional women. She had no interest in modern pop culture. If you told her current affair jokes, she probably wouldn't get it. She liked classic movies, classic TV shows, classic music. You know, in closing, I just want to say, These last 3 years were very difficult. I have my own level of spirituality. It's much different from my mother's. She always respected it. And late in her life, we would talk so much about, you know, how I didn't live in the area anymore, how if something happened to her when I was gone, I should not carry that. She expressed the interest in me to find a local church in my area. I always told her, hey, Mom, to be honest, although I'm an occasional visitor of this church, I've never found another that felt comfortable. She actually was very happy about that when I told her the things about this church that made me more comfortable. I'm thankful during these 3 years, despite the fact that we didn't get a medical miracle, she got so much more time to, if even possible, to get her even more right with God, to have deeper conversations as a son and mother, time to say goodbye to her loved ones, time to throw her efforts into something to keep her alive. She worked. I was sitting there next to her for her last church meeting on a conference call. I mean, she worked till her last week of life doing what she did. So, I know, I'm so confident with the way she lived and her comfort. I know that she's looking down today. She's probably saying I spoke too fast as usual. But she's so happy to have had these last 3 years, to see the family support. And so I can just say thank you to my mother and tell her that I'm so proud. And I know that we will communicate throughout the rest of my life in our own special way.
Thank you, Jonathan, for your sharing. Marian loved to teach young people, especially. When Abraham and Samuel and their parents began to worship here at Campbell, she noticed musical gifts in the whole family, especially in Abraham and Samuel. So she taught piano to Abraham and Samuel. And then last summer, she arranged not only their gifted in piano, but also vocally gifted. So she arranged for these two boys to sing this beautiful piece of music that they sang in worship. And this was the last piece that she chose for worship, for special musicians. And then she worked with them. So here they are.
Thank you. The scripture reading is Colossians chapter 3, verses from 12 to 17. I will read from the Message translation. So, chosen by God for his new life of love, dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. And sing your hearts out to God. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master, Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. May God add a blessing to our reading, hearing, and understanding of the scripture. Amen.
As Reverend Corson and Jonathan witnessed in their sharing, and Jenny beautifully described in her poem, Marianne G. was a very special person to all of us. That is why we are here today to celebrate her life and give thanks to God for her. To Pak, Marianne was a devoted wife of 41 years. To Jonathan and Anthony, she was the best mother they could ever ask for. To Alvin, Albert, Edwin, Emily, and Diana, she was a big sister. To Sue and Suning, she was a thoughtful sister-in-law. And to some of us, she was a caring friend. And outside her family and circle of friends, Marianne was best known for her musical gifts. Marianne served as the director of two bell choirs, a piano teacher for over 30 years, and an organist for even longer, as we all know. Out of her four-decade-long career as an organist, she spent 25 of those years with us here at Campbell United Methodist Church. When her sudden illness led her to retire from playing the organ a couple of years ago, Marianne became our music coordinator. She put together Advent organ concerts, arranged musicians for worship during the summer, conducted bell choirs, and attended weekly worship planning meetings. She did all these while battling her cancer. As long as she was able, Marianne never stopped being a church musician, which was her childhood dream. Less than 2 weeks before her death, she was quickly losing her strength, and she was bedridden, yet she insisted on participating in the worship planning. So she did it on the phone. Many of us, especially the Campbell Church family, know that Marianne was more than just a church musician.
This is how Marianne described in the booklet that was created 4 years ago to celebrate the 125th anniversary of our church. In recent years, Campbell United Methodist Church has led turnover both of pastors and of music directors. Marianne has been a constant, calm presence who has stepped up and helped fill the empty spaces with her guidance and her resources. In Jenny's poetic words, Marianne was filling spaces with warmth and beauty, introducing, connecting, enriching, enlivening, filling souls, nurturing hearts. Many of us know that Marianne did things quietly behind the scenes, but never sought to get any credit for her good deeds. I witnessed it through the spaghetti supper we had earlier this year. Marianne not only came up with the idea of an all-churchwide fellowship event, but also she organized it, Not only she organized the event, but also she financially sponsored it. And she did it so quietly, without any attention, despite her failing health condition. I was deeply moved by her generosity and humility. In the scripture Anthony read for us, the writer of Colossians calls Christians to the new life of love. Using the image of clothes that we put on, he lists specific virtues and actions every Christian believer is called to. Let us hear them again. Dress in the wardrobe God picked out for you: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with the second place, quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the Master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. It's your basic all-purpose garment. Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense. I see Marianne all over the place in this scripture, don't you? Marianne, the woman of sincere faith, radiated in everything that she did: compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline, gratitude, forgiveness, peace, and love. She was even-tempered. She was content with second place. She was a team player. She directed, instructed others with common sense and love and thoughtfulness. She brought people together. Truly, Marianne modeled for us how to live a new life of love all Christians are to live. From Jonathan's sharing, I just picked up this this word, demanding. On one of the visits that I made before her passing, Park and I were talking about Marianne as she was no longer able to talk. And as she had her eyes
closed. So Park, at a certain point, Park said, sometimes she could be bossy. So I said, Marianne, I've heard you bossed around Shine quite a bit. And her eyes suddenly opened. Not just a little bit, but big, really round, big, open. And since then, she just stayed wide awake and just we were together visiting very peacefully and lovingly. So when her eyes got open so big, I said, oh no, Marianne, no, you just mentored Shine. And her eyes got a little bit smaller. At her barrier service, Park shared a story that revealed Marianne's true character. And I was deeply moved by that. I want to share with you. After Park joined IBM and was assigned to work at the Kennedy Space Center, he invited his parents to relocate to Florida and live with him and Marianne. But they would not. They would not come. They declined his offer, fearing that they might become a burden to the newly wed couple. Marianne wrote a long letter to her parents-in-law, asking them to come. Deeply touched by her genuine love and kindness, Park's parents changed their minds and moved to Florida and began to live with them. And later, they moved to California when Park and Marianne relocated to here, to this state, with his job transfer. And they continued to live next door, right next door to Park and Marianne, and took care of their grandchildren until they passed away. We thank God for this woman of strong faith, a woman of quiet spirit and gentle presence, who taught us so much about God's unconditional love and peace by her own example. We thank God for her faith. We praise God for her life on earth and eternity. So in the midst of our sadness, let us sing our hearts out to God, joined by all the saints who have gone before us. As Marianne did all her life, may we sing to God through our own lives of faith, hope, and love, always giving thanks to God, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us pray. God of us all, your love never ends. When all else fails, you still are our God. We pray to you for one another in our need, and for all anywhere who mourn with us this day. To those who doubt, give light. To those who are weak, strength. To all who have sinned, mercy. To all who sorrow, your peace. Keep true in us the love with which we hold one another. In all our ways, we trust you. We thank you, O God, for all with which you have blessed us even to this day. For the gift of joy in days of health and strength, and for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief. We praise you for home and friends, for all our baptism and place in your church, with all who have faithfully lived and died, especially with Marianne, whom you have graciously received into your eternity. Above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death and rose for our sake, and who lives and prays for us. So in his name we pray, amen. Let us rise now with one more hymn, Hymn of Promise. You can find it in the red hymnal, number 707. Of Marianne's life on earth. We are so saddened by the fact that she's no longer here. As we have just sung, it's a mystery of life. We will never know until our time to be called in our own eternity comes. yet we trust that she is in victory, in the victory of the resurrection our Lord Jesus Christ has given us all. So, my sisters and brothers, though we may still be saddened by the fact that she's no longer with us, we may still shed our tears, yet our tears are not just tears of sadness, but tears of joy. So let us go into the world with that conviction that she is our dear sister and friend, Marianne, is with us, with God's saints in eternity, celebrating. Who knows, she joined all the organist guilds in heaven, and she is probably had the honor of playing the best organ. So let us go in that conviction and celebrate all the wonderful gifts God continues to bring into our lives, and live the life, the new life of love, boldly and joyfully. Amen.